looking at a passage that's very familiar to all of us today, and as I was working on preparing that this week, sometimes I think, I was just talking to somebody the other day, you ever been someplace you drive by almost every single day, whether it's to work or maybe to school, or maybe to see a relative, and you say one day, I didn't know that house was there, or I never saw that car before, or maybe something peculiar about that street that you never recognized, or just a monument. Just anything could be the case. And I think we talked a lot about patience today in our adult class, how important it is to just slow down, back out of a moment when things are going too fast, and slow down and look at them a little bit more closely. And as I've got on the board on there today, the introduction behind me says, today we're going to look at some familiar passages on time and take a look at some images that help us really look into each of these verses more closely, and then go over some of the passages that might help us process the wisdom imparted to Solomon. I have a note there at the bottom. I use a lot of things from Unsplashed. It's mostly a royalty-free website. I think I put my dad onto that site years ago, and he's got a lot of images of his own on there too. But it was so popular that the iStock has actually taken an investment into it, and so some of the images that get too much attention, they actually make that they can be purchased. But just a sidebar there. So I've spent a lot of time trying to find images that work very well with these passages. If you've ever remember Ecclesiastes 3, and you know what it's always talking about time. Time's a starting time and a finishing time. A starting time and a finishing time. In other verses, it goes backwards. It says there's a finishing time, but there's a starting time too. And so I want to really slow down and look at this passage a little bit more closely just by bringing some images up. And we've talked about that, the images and being metaphors. They put things in our minds sometimes that we don't often think about. Yeah, if you say something to somebody or you read something, you might have something in your mind. But sometimes if somebody presents something to you visually along with message, it tends to stay a little bit better. So starting off in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, it says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And I think most of us that are in this room today, I think are old enough to recognize, we understand this. There's a starting time and a finishing time for everything that there is around us. So starting off there, we all like babies. Babies are a good thing. Ecclesiastes 3:2 says there's a time to be born. But deeper than the surface there, it's not just that birth of a child. The birth of a child is very easy to come about. You see the new baby from the mother, and you know about all the things that go to that, but up to that time, as being parents, probably all of us are, what did we do? Didn't we often have to prepare for that child? Didn't we have to get a room for that child and a bassinet and diapers and blankets and all those things? I've seen my daughter going through this twice over the last few years. There was preparation that had to be made for that child. And then that child, once it was born, diligent work had to be done in order to keep up with it. Babies cry. Why do they cry? Well, they're hungry or their diapers are messy or whatever the case may be. So just saying there's a time to be born is a simple thing, maybe if we look at it too quickly, but there's a lot that goes into that birth. There's a lot of preparation and there's a lot of follow-up there too. Some reference passages I've got mixed in as we go through here, but some things to think about for us as Christians. Paul, writing to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 13, says, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, just like this baby is going to grow into a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But, transition in thought there, when I became a man, I put away those childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. And now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. So we have a time to be born. We have all that preparation for all of us that are alive today. We lived as a child, but as we grew and matured, we learned things. And if we were fortunate, we've been involved with the church to help us better understand what our spiritual role is. And opposite to that, there's a memorial tombstone there. The second part of Ecclesiastes 3:2 says there's a time to die. Well, as we've talked about in lessons before, that's the finishing point for all of us. Every time I've seen so many shows lately, this is everybody's going to die. You forget that sometimes. You think about the people that are dealing with health situations or disease or sickness, and you know, oh, their time is short, and you get stressed about that. But like was mentioned on some of those shows I talked about, we are all heading to the same destination. We are all heading towards death if the Lord does not come first. And so as we think about this, all the things that were involved, you might see a tombstone as you go to a graveyard, or maybe you've gone to some of these graveyards that are just full of tombstones. I think I even had a lesson about the monument or the tombstone and talked about how they represent just the final resting place for people. And just like the child that was planned in the beginning and lived its life, it's unplanned. Its body is being decayed and so on. So everything that that person did in life is ending right here. Again, I've talked about in my lesson previously, that's the period in the sentence of my life is what happened there. And so it's important for us to think about what have we done up to this point. Just as the verse I talked about from 1 Corinthians a little bit ago, Paul couldn't do anything else about his preparation for eternity when his life was over. Neither can we. And so we need to be thoughtful about that. A passage to think about also, Paul to the Romans, it says in 8:6, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." And so as we know, everything that's the carnal body will basically turn to dust. But you can go on beyond that if you're spiritually focused. I probably could have researched to see what that woman was planting right there, but in the background you can see that that woman's putting plants inside of an area that she's cutting holes in the tarp and making sure that they're well cultivated. The verse that coincides with that is still Ecclesiastes chapter 2 as it transitions to a focus on planting. You look at all that space behind her and she's got a lot of work to do. But not only was her plans there to put these plants in the ground, just look at that tarp that she's working on there. There's a place for her knees to go, a place for her to face different directions, a place to put the plant. All that preparation just to help that plant do well. And so it's important for us to kind of think about those kind of things in our life too. Again, to the 1 Corinthians 3, "I planted, Apollos watered, God gives the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase." Paul acknowledges that even though he and Apollos may have a role to play, God's the one that makes things happen. But we still have a role to play. He says that he planted and Apollos watered, so they were doing things with the church to help them to grow, to prepare them. But God would go even further than that. And I think it's important for us to remember that we do have a role to play. The next says that verse wraps up in Ecclesiastes 3:2. The last thing it says, after it says a time to plant, and a time to pluck, which is planted. 1 Corinthians 3 again, "I planted, Apollos watered," we just read that. But at the very end of the time here, you think about the apostles when Jesus was being harassed, and they said, "Well, your apostles or your disciples were out and they were picking grain on the Sabbath," and all the hard time that they gave them. Why were they picking grain in the first place? What could we get from grain? Well, if you look closely at the grain that's back there in the background, it's full of oats. Or wheat, or whatever the case may be. And so it actually has nourishment if you know how to eat it properly. It can give you food, and it's certainly all the bread and things that we consume come from those plants. So again, just being thoughtful about things in our lives. Continuing on, tried to find a nice image of this, and there wasn't any image out there, so I just went ahead and put steaks being hung up in front of a grill. Ecclesiastes 3:3 says there's a time to kill. And the image that I use there is food, basically. Whether you're talking about an animal or whether you're talking about a plant, we take the life of both of those things in order for us to eat, in most cases. If we eat fruits, if we eat vegetables, if we eat grains, if we eat meat, we are taking the life of something in order to be alive. And so as this verse talks about a time to kill, well, sometimes that's necessary. But it also goes on, and you can see here a bunch of cows. It's not necessarily healing them here, but certainly nourishing them. Maybe those steaks will come from an animal, but in this case it continues up and it says a time to heal. Well, taking care of an animal, helping it to be very vibrant, alive, and doing well is important. Any of you that have been involved with affairs understand having an animal that's in absolutely perfect health is very important and sometimes will win some high awards. So while you might eat something from an animal, it's also important that that animal is healthy and does well. James 5:15-16 says, "The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses one to another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." We've had some pretty good conversations about this passage, but I just wanted us to be thoughtful about that. Is the church being focused on somebody that's not doing well and praying to them. The ultimate healer is God, that we can try to have those kind of things be more advantageous for that person that's suffering. And maybe there's even people in our lives right now that could benefit from the church doing this. Another passage as we get into here, in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 3, we've talked about a time to kill, a time to heal, but now we're talking about a time to break down. No matter what is built, there's a time that we have to destroy it. Or sometimes we have to destroy things in order to have new things. In this case, I've got a building in the background that is being destroyed. You can see from the picture that there was some really nice construction on that building. Very well built with metal underneath of it and a nice facade, but it's being torn down here so that something new can go in its place. On this picture here, we got a brand new building being done, certainly not to the same level of what we were just looking at, but even though there's a time to tear something down, there's also a time to build it back up again. And so we need to be thinking about that. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. So now, brethren, I commend you that God to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Just thinking about that and turning over everything in our lives to God so that God can build us up. God, if we're leaning on God the right way, He will lift us up. And so many songs talk about that. This woman's obviously sad here. Ecclesiastes 3:4 says there's a time to weep. I think if I asked around the room, has any of you ever cried before? I think we can all say, not only have we cried, but we've had some real doozies before. And it's once you get started, if there's something heavy on your heart, it won't go away. It just takes one person to set you off again. That's what God made us. Part of being human is being able to convey our emotions to others so that they know about that. But just as that woman was very sad, it continues in that verse, there's a time to weep, there's a time to cry and be sad and know what's going on, but there's a time to laugh here too. Ever since I got that picture there, I kept thinking of Emma. That's who she reminds me of, so it doesn't look exactly like her, but I've seen her laugh about that well before, and I thought about her for this. But kids love to laugh if something makes them happy. Adults do too, but we may not show it as easily. So when God, just He put that into us. We can never forget how important our emotions are. We talked in class about our emotions getting out of control, but just the fact that they exist are amazing. Another passage to Romans in chapter 12. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Just focusing on that first part there. Sometimes people just need us to weep with them, feel their pain, help. Just put an arm around them and say, "I know what you're going through. It hurts." And maybe sometimes we have experiences of those things. But if somebody's rejoicing, if somebody's happy about something, walking up to them, give them a big hug, and say, "Oh, I'm so happy about that," can mean so much. Another woman here, kind of distraught here, says a time to weep and a time to laugh, but it continues on, and there is a time to mourn. Sometimes we may not be crying, but in our heart there's mourning that's going on. We've lost something. We've lost a relationship. We've lost someone in the past in our lives. Maybe a situation that we just can't seem to get over. We're just mourning having to be in that situation. And so that's important. Hard to find pictures of dancing that is appropriate, so I found this one. And it continues up. Ecclesiastes 3:4 wraps up. Though there's a time to mourn, there is a time to dance. And we can go through Scripture, especially in the Old Testament, just thinking about the joy of being God's children, being taken care of. Hard to find pictures of people throwing rocks, but I found a pretty good one here. There's a time to cast away stones in Ecclesiastes 3:5. That boy on the right is throwing a stone out there, and either his sister or a relative is watching him throw that stone out there. I still like throwing stones in rocks and rivers. And I think a lot of us like to see people skip them on top of the water. I enjoy that too. But there is a time to get rid of the stones that are in our way. Talked before that an important thing for farmers back in the day was once they disked the field to make sure those rocks were out of the way because they affected how well those plants would go in the ground. And while we may throw stones away from us from time to time, that verse continues, there is a time to gather stones. Whether that's gathering stones together to build a well or to build a house or to build a road. Kyle showed us some amazing pictures of when he went to Israel of the Roman roads that went through Jerusalem and those areas there. These boulders are gigantic, and so at some point in time, people were able to take those boulders and move them to that place just so they could walk out there. And I don't know if you can make it out there, but the very end of that is a lighthouse. And so that lighthouse was made so that people could walk out there and make it work. They had to gather those stones together. And just like we started with that child, that baby, you see it born, but it didn't just happen that way. Planning had to be involved with that and nurturing after that time. So these stones just don't show up and they don't work together well unless there was planning and work done to make sure that that happened. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, "Coming to him as living stones, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore," again, transition in thought or continuance, "it is also contained in the scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame.'" So again, not necessarily relating any of these passages to these verses from Ecclesiastes 3, but they do help us to stick something in our mind and say, what does it take to be a good Christian today? Good picture of what looks to be a mother and daughter hug here. Ecclesiastes 3:5 continues on. It says, "A time to embrace." So we've talked about the stones, but now there's a time to embrace. There's a time to hug somebody, to let them know, whether it's in joy or sorrow, whatever the case may be, to put our arms around them and let them know, we got you, we got you. 1 Corinthians again, chapter 12:25, "that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another." If we're doing things the right way, we should always want to hug everybody in this room. I'm just so glad to see you. I'm so sorry you're going through that. I'm so happy for that news. That's the people that we should be. And then it wraps up in chapter 3, verse 5, after embracing. There is a time to refrain from embracing. There's times that we need to talk things out. There's times that we need to have discussions in our lives, especially as families and people in business. There's a time it's like, I'm not against you here, but we need to work this out. There's something that we need to discuss. And so the picture I've got there is probably a session where somebody's dealing with somebody as a third party and helping them work something out, whatever that case may be. And sometimes that's required. I tried to use an image of $100 bills on here and I got flagged by PowerPoint. It says, "You cannot put this image for a copying program or something." It was thinking I was going to make copies of $100 bills. So it didn't like that, but it was fine with $1 bills. So apparently that's okay. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 6, it says, "There's a time to gain." It's okay when you're having things go on in your life that you're working towards, that you're gaining those things. And we certainly see that is true. I know it's been discussed before that riches are a problem for people, that they could be cause people to do things that were wrong. And that's not always the case, but there's times that we can gain things. But there's also a time for loss there. Ecclesiastes 3:6 continues, "There's a time to gain and a time to lose." Sometimes that losing can just be by accident, but a lot of times that losing is having things spent on something that we might need. My passage for that one is in Luke chapter 15:32. "It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and alive, and again and was lost and now is found." Remember, that was about the prodigal son that had finally come back, and his brother was frustrated that they were celebrating for him who had wasted everything away but hadn't done anything for him in his opinion. And his dad's telling him, "Hey, we should be very happy because he was lost and we're getting him back." And so important passages for to think about. A lot of you may not know what those are, young people, but those are safe deposit boxes. That's what people used to put their money into in banks if they wanted to hang on to them. And so I use that for the second part of Ecclesiastes 3:6. There's a time to keep and there's a time to throw away, as it continues there, just as a recycle bin or trash, whatever it may be. Sometimes we work so hard to get things, but when they're used up or we're finished with them, they can be done away with. Philippians, it says in 3:8, "Yet indeed I also count all things for loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ." If we can put everything in our life in the trash that's not related to Christ and try to focus him on entirely, it would do us so well. So well. This actually reminded me, I don't think Melena's got them for some reason. I was thinking she had some jeans like this. And I also know she likes Converse too, so I was smiling about that. When we were young, or at least when I was young, a tear in your jeans was a problem. People fixed them. My mom used to put patches on her jeans, but now they sell brand new jeans with tears in them. So what was not the norm back when I was young is certainly become the norm. This girl's probably wearing brand new jeans, but that's the thing that they're showing there. But to make the point there, I've got them on there for a time to tear and a time to sew. Continues up in 3:7, and there is a time to sew. And so some of you that buy jeans that are shredded like that, you may not even understand what that picture is of there, but that's a woman working to sew fabric back together. Passage I picked for that is Mark 2:21. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, or else the new piece pulls away from the old and the tear is made worse. Definitely pulled that passage kind of out of context, so please go back and look at that. But the fact of what's being stated there is absolutely true. If you have brand new fabric and you have another piece of brand new fabric and you sew them together, as they are washed and as they age, they will work together nicely. But if you put something that's been around for a lot of years on something brand new, it won't work so well. Somebody telling you, shh. Continues on in 3:7, there's a time to keep silent. And there's a time to speak. We talked about that in class today too. Knowing that area of discretion. Knowing when it's good to argue about something and sometimes let things go, that you can try to work those things out. My passage for that is Acts 4. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." They were being asked to stop talking about Jesus and say, "Okay, you guys can do what you want to, but we know who this guy is. We've seen evidence of his power. He is Christ, the Son of God, and we're not going to do anything but talk about him." And so we need to make sure that we're to that level too. A few more here. We got 3:8. There's a time to love. Oop. And a time to hate. Don't know what group that is, and trying not to be thinking about hate, but there's to like less or to be something against something that we might have feelings of fondness towards. Continuing in 3:8, there's a time of war. You see that man standing beside a wall there shooting a gun. And in contrast to that, like all these passages have done, there's also a time of peace. And so we need to recognize those times as we go through. Matthew 10 says, "But whoever denies me before men, him will I deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." Have to make sure you keep all those passages in mind there, because Jesus is peace himself and brings peace between man and God, but also came to divide those that were sinners and those that are righteous. And the last slide image that I've got on here for is, as it wraps up there in 9 through 11, "What profit has a worker from that which in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task in which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in his time." And this is my favorite part off here. Another place that I drove by and I was like, I never paid attention to that building before. "He has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work of God does from the beginning to end." That really made a big impression on me, that God put eternity in our hearts. We know that the sinner and the saved both will live on forever. But only one of those two people will have eternity in heaven with God. And so we have what we need to right here. We just need to decide what destination are we going to apply that to. So I hope these things, maybe you've seen them a million times. Maybe you've thought about these passages a million times, but like me, you'd skip right through them and hadn't got into the meat of them. And I hope that they've been more thoughtful for you this morning. So as we conclude, and as with all invitations that are brought to the members of a congregation, we give this time now for those that might want to take on the waters of baptism, having Christ forgive them of their sins with his blood and be baptized. And for those of us that might just be struggling through life, maybe we haven't been able to do some of those passages we've read, and we need to. I encourage you to sing. We'll stand at this time. If you have a need, let it be known as we stand and sing.